Good morning.
Morning.
All right. Nice to be with you all. Thanks for spending your Sunday morning with us. And, yeah. So, I know this is the wrong place to ask this question, but how are you guys doing? It seems like plenty of sickness going around. Got a bunch of people out, beat down. So hopefully everybody's hanging in there through the trials and joys of life. So my name is Dove, and I am one of the pastors here at the Rio. And it's just a joy to be with you and to share some fellowship together and some time and to come before God intentionally. And so, anyways, I just want to share a few thoughts this morning. I guess, first of all, just the past couple weeks, I've just kind of been thinking about different things. So on my heart, I've been thinking about this verse a bit in John 18:36. Jesus has been arrested, and it's kind of, anyways, he's there, and he's talking, and he answers, and he says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I would not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." And so I think I come back to this. It kind of puts life in perspective for me a lot. And so just kind of, the first time I really was chewing on this, I was having a conversation with somebody, and it was basically like, why doesn't God make everything right in the world? Why doesn't he do that? Why doesn't he come and just make everything right? And I felt like the answer for me was because this isn't his kingdom, which is kind of weird. So, because we live here, and this is like our home for now, but this is not Jesus' final kingdom. And so we kind of have to go, there's a lot of brokenness in this world, and Jesus doesn't make it all right. But he offers us this kingdom that's not of this world, that we can be a part of. And he offers an invitation to be a part of that. And so, yeah, I think for me, as I go through life and just all the things of life and all the challenges of life and just looking at that, it's like, put some perspective on it. So why don't I pray, and we're just going to share some stuff. So Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. I thank you for being here with us. I thank you for the pleasure of singing to you and telling you how great you are and telling you how much I appreciate what you've done in my life and who you are for me. I thank you for the opportunity to meet with your people and to be together and to seek you and to come in faith and to grow and to fall in love with you more. Thank you that you care about us. Thank you that you have opened up your kingdom to us. Thank you, Jesus, for making a path, for paving the way, opening the door. Thank you for loving us. And I pray that you would teach us this morning. Not that we would know more stuff. I pray you would strengthen us. I pray that your spirit would touch us. I pray that you would grow us in you. In Jesus' name, amen. The other thing that I've kind of been just mulling over this week, we had a good conversation in our small group on it as well, which kind of further fueled it for me. But just thinking about faith and why would we, kind of just thinking, why would we want to walk in faith in life? Why not just walk a normal life? Why would we step out in faith and do things in faith? And in 1 Corinthians 13:13, at the end of this beautiful chapter on love, it says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." And just, it's the things that are done in faith actually remain. They endure. They are lasting. They have like some kind of permanence. I really like the Spanish word for remain. It says they permanecen. They have a permanence to them. They're just like, they endure. And in my life, I go through life, and if you piled up the things in my week that I did in faith and the things that I did that are just life, I think the piles would be very skewed. And yet it's like these are the things that last. These are the things that stand the test of time. And just thinking about some things that do not remain in life. There's lots of things in this life that do not remain, do not endure. And one is our money and possessions. They do not last. We brought nothing with us when we came to this world, and when we leave, we'll take nothing with us. Our possessions do not last. Knowledge, our knowledge does not last. Our understanding, we have this tiny little understanding. Some of us are pretty smart, but it doesn't remain. It's just like, just doesn't. Our bodies, these bodies of ours do not remain. And all of us kind of feel that, especially when there's all this sickness and stuff. It's like, we are wasting away day by day. And yet, inside we're being renewed day by day. Inside in faith, in hope, in love, in these things that actually endure, these things that have permanence. Another thing that doesn't endure is this world. This world in its present form is passing away. It does not endure. And so just kind of thinking about these things that it's kind of exciting. It's like there's something so cool in faith that it lasts. It's not perishable like all the other stuff of this world. And so today I want to dig into the parable of the sower. Some of you are maybe familiar with this story. It's a story that Jesus told. And I just kind of want to stop in there and just kind of pray for us. And so I want to pray for you all. And that's kind of the plan. So the parable of the sower, it's in a couple of spots. I'm going to read the one in Matthew. And so in Matthew 13, it says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, these stories, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. So you can imagine this person sowing seeds, possibly by hand, like in the picture. Now we have cool equipment to come and sow fields. But just the sower's out scattering seeds. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And then Jesus kind of talks about why he tells stories instead of just like telling exactly what he's trying to say, and kind of goes into that. And then to his disciples, he explains this story. He says, here's what this parable means. And so to them he says, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, that is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. So, in this story, Jesus is talking about these four different types of ground, these four different places where the seeds land. And so we, on the path, in the rocky ground, in the thorns, and then the seeds that are in fertile soil and produce lots more grain. And so let's just start with the first one. We're going to kind of look at those. So then, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. That is what was sown along the path. And so just my first prayer is that may God's word find a place in our lives. And I know in my life there's been plenty of times when I heard God's word, I read something in the Bible, and it just bounces off. It doesn't go anywhere. I can't even understand it. It's just like words. And so the offer of the kingdom, we have this invitation in Jesus to be a part of his kingdom and to come and receive this newness of life, this new hope, this new peace, the Holy Spirit, this newness inside of us, and a new destiny, a new inheritance. And yet, sometimes it doesn't even make any sense. And so, may that grow in us. May God's word find its place in us. I'm gonna pray for each of these, so if you guys just want to pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the seeds of your word that you grow, that you plant, that you sow in this world and in my life and in each person's life here. God, I ask you to grow those seeds. I ask that you would open people's minds, open their hearts to hear what you have, to receive the gift that you want to give. God, I ask you to hold back the plans of the evil one to snatch those up and to gobble them, destroy them before they even take root. I ask you in the name of Jesus to open hearts, to be ready, and to remove those hindrances that keep us from hearing your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So moving on, the next seed. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. And so, this is the word that comes like, yes, I want that. I want to follow Jesus. I want Jesus in my life. I receive it with joy, this excitement. And I've seen this in people's lives. And yet, the sun will come up, and the sun will get really hot, and there will be pain in this life, and there will even be pain because of following Jesus. And without that root, without that strength, without that ability to really dig in and hang on to that faith, we can wither away. At our house, we have a little garden, and my son planted radishes, and for whatever reason, he spilled some of the seed onto the rest of our yard is just rocks, onto the rocks. And there's actually a couple little radishes growing in the rocks. There's some dirt in there too, and it's pretty cool to see. But when it gets hot, you can see the difference. These little tiny radishes just like trying to hang on. With no real root, they're not really planted in anything. It's just kind of like, I don't know, it's not grounded. And so there will be trials in our lives. It will come. The sun will come up. May the trials of life not destroy us, but even purify our faith. This passage in 1 Peter, I think Peter does a really good job of kind of just laying out life, how this world is not our home. We're just kind of passing through to until we get to where our real home is. And he talks a bit about this kind of just walking. We're kind of like aliens here, just kind of passing through, moving on. And he does a good job of just kind of, to me, explaining and it's kind of hard to dissect, though, just the beauty of this faith. In 1 Peter 1, we're starting in 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So he has given us this. We have a new life. We've been born again. Those of us who have heard that word offered from Christ and have received it, it's a new life. We have a new life. And that hope is in the resurrection of Jesus. Just as Jesus came back from the dead, that we would too, and be in our true home. And so in the meantime, here we are. And we have this hope, moving on in verse 4, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Now that's permanence, right? This inheritance that cannot be messed up at all. "Kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." And so it's super cool. He's just kind of laying out this awesome life we get to walk into, of this hope and this new inheritance and new life. And then as he continues in 5, "In this you rejoice." Yeah. "Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." Yeah. No doubt. "So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So gold is pretty solid stuff, pretty permanent. And yet even gold perishes. And our faith remains. Our faith endures. Our faith is tested and tried, just like the fires that purify gold. And yet it remains. It endures. It is real. It has substance. And so that's that root. "Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." And that's my prayer. That is my hope for all of us. That faith is so grounded, is so permanent, is so strong, is so deep into God, that it's not shaken. It's not torn apart. It doesn't dry up. It's not just a flash in the pan. So, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the strength of faith that you give us in your Spirit. Thank you for the endurance and longevity of that. Thank you that you are able to hang on to us when the trials come. God, I ask you for each one of us, that when the trials of life come, that you would strengthen us, that you would ground us in you, that we would find joy in the midst of that in you, that we would be renewed in hope, in the hope that's in you and not in this world. God, I lift up people that are going through tremendous trials right now. I ask that you would strengthen them. I ask that you would encourage them. I ask that you would give them eyes to see you more clearly, to fall in love with you, to feel that joy of your salvation afresh. Thank you, God, for allowing us to endure. Thank you for that strength that you provide. Thank you for the amazing hope we have. Thank you that you will make all things right. In Jesus' name, amen. And so even though in this world things, not all things are right, one day God will make all things right. That's encouraging to me. There's some people going through tremendous trials right now. And sometimes it's like, I hear stories of what people are enduring. I had a student just recently tell me about her life. It's like, oh my goodness. How incredibly challenging. I don't think anybody's life turns out exactly the way they thought it would. There's just this constant falling short of this life. And it's so exciting to me that one day everything will be made right. It's just like, there's such a beautiful hope in that. So exciting. All right, moving on to the third seed. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. And I find myself in my life, this is the challenge I have the most. And it's the challenges of living in this blessed, amazing country. Sometimes it just, there's so many good things, it just kind of chokes out my spiritual life. And so it's interesting, this, the cares of the world, it's all these responsibilities, all these things that we need to do and make happen. I need to change the oil in my car. I should probably take it to Bill. I need to get a new prescription for my glasses. I got a pile of homework I need to grade. And every time I work on it, it gets bigger. I got projects around the house. As soon as I fix some, it seems like something else breaks. I don't know why pipes always have to leak. But there's just like the cares of this world. Like, it's just, there's so many demands, so many responsibilities that we have. And I'm not saying, and I don't think Jesus isn't saying, like, don't, like, quit being responsible. That's not the solution. But it's just, we cannot let all the demands on us just become our whole life and just choke out everything in our life and just envelop us. And then the deceitfulness of riches. These are the blessings of life. There's so many blessings we have, so many wonderful riches. And for us to enjoy so many great things. And yet, we cannot let the riches of this life just become everything, so that the spiritual life of faith inside of us is just neglected, just left just to kind of wither and be choked out. And so I find in my life, there's times I'm deliberately trying to pull weeds out of my life just because I have so much. And when we first got married, and for many years, we didn't have a TV. And there's nothing wrong with having a TV. If you have one, it's not. And it wasn't because TV is bad or anything. It's just for me, I will just watch TV and ignore my wife, the rest of my life that's important. It just kind of chokes out my life. And so I've made some choices in my life to just eliminate some things, try to pull those weeds out that just want to take over everything. And yet there's other times just like, I can't pull more stuff out, but I just need to kind of push it aside and make sure that my spiritual life is growing. Make sure that in faith, that there's still room for faith in my life. There's always more I need to do it seems like it never ends. So may the cares and the riches of this world not choke out our spiritual lives. It can be so demanding. In Luke 10:38, Jesus has this encounter with these two women. So, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." And Jesus wants us to serve. And I think it's cool that Martha's serving. I can just imagine her coming by, drinks, food, like taking care of people. What an amazing woman. What a cool service. What a gift. And yet he's saying, in the midst of that, there's something even more important. And Mary has chosen something that's even more important. And I'm not going to take it away from her. May we not let all the good things of our lives, even our service, even our time that's not even wasted, our time that's given to good things, may we not let that become everything in our lives. May we save room to just stop, turn off everything, and just be with Jesus. I have a couple of places in my life where I've found places to do this. I have a closet that I can go into, a storage closet, and just leave the world behind and just be with Jesus and just intentionally turn off the world. For me, there's a canal behind our house, and for some reason at night when it's dark is the best for me, just to get on the canal and just walk and pray and just let go of all of life and just sit at Jesus' feet and be with him. I feel like that's so important for my life. So important. And even in that time, I find myself a lot like, "Oh, Jesus, help me with these lesson plans that I forgot to make and I need to do tomorrow." And I still carry with me, even in these places, the burdens. And yet to just keep giving those and talking through them, and it really is the strength in my life. And to find God in those places. In Luke 5:16, it talks about Jesus, and he withdrew to desolate places. He would withdraw to desolate places and pray. How much more do I need to find these desolate places to kind of turn off all the people and all the demands and all the cares and all the pleasures and all the blessings, and just be with God? And Jesus would often go up to the Mount of Olives, and there was times when he was there all night praying, and he took the time to get away and to just be with God, be with his Father, and to pray. And I don't know, at least for me, as much as pulling weeds in my life, I find that that's just really important. All right, the final seeds. It says, "As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. So he hears the word, this person believes it, combines it with faith, walks in it, lives it out, enjoys the fruit of it. And so from one seed, it grows into multiple seeds. And so it's like, as the Word of God in our life, as God's power in our life grows and works and we combine with faith, then it goes out to other people. We're able to share the Word. We're able to pass on blessings. We're able to love others. We're able to give. And God multiplies on earth through us. And so, may we bear fruit in our lives. May our lives not just be, yeah, we heard it and it was nice, but may it take root. May the word of the kingdom of God, that we can be in His kingdom, follow His lordship, let Him be king, have the hope of being with Him completely, take root in our lives. May we believe. May we endure the tests, and may we share it. May we pass it on. So let's see. Yeah, let me pray one more time, and then I want to give you guys each something. So, Father, I just come before you again. I ask you, God, I ask you that your word would bear fruit in our lives. God, I pray against all the just the beautiful and hard and challenging things, but also the good things of life that want to choke us out. God, I ask that you would strengthen each person. I ask that you would strengthen everyone here to stay connected to you, to bear fruit, to walk in the path that you have, to not get sidetracked, to not just settle for less, to not just put all of our lives into these things that are so fleeting and pass away. God, I ask that you would direct each of us, direct us on the path that you have for us, to walk with you and enjoy you, and that you would use us, that you would bear fruit in our lives, that your word would multiply through us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have a little packet of seeds for you guys. That in this pack, I think there's a little bit of dill seed, which is like it's an herb. So as it grows, you can eat the leaves. They're one of my favorites for cooking. And then they make dill seeds, which are good for pickles and I'm sure other stuff too. Musk. And then in the seed packet, there's also some, let's see, morning glories, which make pretty flowers. And they're kind of aggressive, so they might choke out your dill a little bit if you let them grow around it and squeeze them. And then there's a couple hollyhocks, which grow nice, tall stalks full of beautiful flowers. So if you are the kind of person that grows seeds, then I just encourage you to grow them. You can grow them inside or outside. They will need water in El Paso. So, and if you're not the kind of person that grows things, then, I don't know, scatter them somewhere and see what happens to them. But anyways, it's just to kind of think about the Word of God, the seed that's been planted. And my hope is that Word goes out, that our lives do bear fruit, that we're not just totally destroyed by the challenges of life, and that we're not just consumed by everything around us that would make us unfruitful. So, God bless you guys.